It was a long, cold slog up to the aquarium, and then around the entire building, where the snow had piled up to truly impressive depths in the lee of the wind on the south side of the structure. Wind, hustling in over the frozen lake, felt like it had come straight from outer space, and everyone but Guard hunched up miserably against it. The trail led us to an employee's door in the side of the building, which proved to have had the lock housing on its frame covered in duct tape, leaving it open. Hendricks opened the door, and I stuck my head in and took a quick look around. The building was dark beneath its smothering blanket of snow, except for a few dim nightlights set low on the walls. I didn't see anyone, but I took an extra moment or two to extend my senses into the building, searching for any lurking presences or hostile magics. Nothing. But a little paranoia never hurts in a situation like this. "Captain," I said quietly, "what do you think?" Lucio moved up beside me and studied the hall beyond the doorway, her dark eyes flickering alertly back and forth. "It seems clear." I nodded, said, "Excuse me," and went through the door in a burst of raging anticlimax. I stomped the snow off my boots and jeans as best I could as the others came in behind me. I moved farther down the hall, straining to sense anyone approaching, which meant that I heard the soft scuff of deliberately obtrusive footsteps 2 or 3 seconds before Kincaid rounded the far corner. He was dressed in his customary black clothing again, fatigue pants and a hunting jacket over body armor, and he had enough guns strapped to his body to outfit a terrorist cell, or a Texan nuclear family. He gave his chin a sharp little lift toward me by way of greeting. "This way, please." His eyes focused past me and his voice died in mid-courtesy. He stared over my shoulder for a second, sighed, and then told me, "She can't be here." I felt my eyebrows rising. The corners of my mouth went along for the ride. I leaned in a little to Kincaid and murmured, "You tell her." His gaze went from Murphy to me. A less charitable man than I might have called his expression sour. He drummed one thumb on the handle of his sidearm and asked, "She threatened to call in the constabulary?" "She's got this funny thing where she takes her oath to protect the city and citizens of Chicago seriously. It's as if her promises mean something to her." Kincaid grimaced. "I'll have to clear it with the archive."
"No Murphy, no meeting," I said. "Tell her I said that."
The assassin grunted. "You can tell her yourself." He led me through the halls of the shed to the oceanarium. It was probably the most popular exhibit there, a great big old semicircular building containing the largest indoor aquatic exhibits in the world. Its outer ring of exhibits sported a number of absolutely huge pools containing millions of gallons of water and a number of dolphins and those little white whales whose names I can never remember. The same as the caviar, beluga whales. There were rocks and trees built up around the outsides of the pools, complete with moss and plants and everything to make it look like the Pacific Northwest. Although I was fairly sure that the bleacher seats where the audience could marvel at whales and dolphins, who would show up and do their usual daily health inspections for their trainers to the sound of applause, weren't indigenous to the Pacific Northwest. I think those were actually Floridian in origin. A pair of dolphins swept by us in the water, flicking their heads out as they went to get a look at us. One of them made a chittering sound that wasn't very melodic. The other twitched his tail and splashed a little water our way, all in good fun. They weren't the attractive flipper kind of dolphins. They were regular dolphins that aren't as pretty and don't get cast on television. Maybe they just refuse to sell out and see a plastic surgeon. I held a fist up to them. "Represent." Kincaid scanned the bleachers, frowning. "She's supposed to be sitting here. Damn it." I sighed and circled back toward the stairs to the lower level. "She might be the archive, but she's still a kid, Kincaid." He frowned and looked at me. "So? So? Kids like cute." He blinked at me. "Cute? Come on." I led him downstairs. On the lower level of the oceanarium, there's an inner ring of exhibits, too, containing both penguins and, wait for it, sea otters. I mean, come on, sea otters. They open abalone with rocks while floating on their backs. How much cuter does it get than small, fuzzy, floating, playful tool users with big, soft, brown eyes?